our omnipotent God. Number 7 in the Attributes of God series. This message by Pastor Rod Harris was delivered at Trinity Baptist Church on Wednesday evening, June the 10th, 2015.
Well, we're talking about the attributes of God. We're talking about the character of our God. And the thing that I hope is coming through to you as we work our way through this material is that our God is worthy of worship and praise. Our God is worthy of honor and glory. Of course, He is like no other. He is a God who has being within Himself. Being, existence, resides in Him, comes from Him. He alone is eternal. In the beginning, before anything was created, before time or space or any of that, there was God. And He was fully in existence and fully whole and complete in Himself. He has always been Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And there was love and harmony and fellowship. And the wonder of it all is that He chose to create us. He didn't have to. It wasn't that He was lonely and so He had to have someone to share His life with. It wasn't that He needed to be loved and He needed to love, so He had to create us. He didn't have to. It was not necessity. It was His glorious choice. He wanted to create us. He wanted to love us. He wanted to be in relationship with us. This God who has being in Himself is like no other. He alone is eternal. He is a spirit being. That is, He's not bogged down by the limitations of a physical body. He's not restricted in any way because of any kind of physicality. He is of necessity sovereign. He is Lord. He reigns over all things. He is holy. He is everywhere present, meaning there is not a place in all of creation that God's not there, fully present in His full being, being God. Wherever He is, it's not that there's a piece of Him here and a piece of Him there and over there and out there. Wherever He is fully there in His full capacity, in His full being, with His full faculties, and everything about Him that is God, and He's acting as God in that place. Whether you go to the furthest reaches of space or you go to hell itself, God is there being God. He is everywhere present. Then last time we said He is omniscient, that He has all knowledge. He has full and complete knowledge of Himself, that His knowledge is perfect, it is eternal, it is immediate, it is exhaustive, it is penetrating. He knows the future and every conceivable possibility. God's knowledge is omniscient. It is without limit. It is without bound. This evening, we're going to deal with another of the omni attributes. Tonight, our God is omnipotent. Our God is all-powerful. Now, when we say that our God is all-powerful, does that mean that we need to get into a great philosophical debate and decide if God has all power and God can do anything, does that mean God can make a rock so big He can't pick it up? Do we need to get into that? No. When we say God is all-powerful, are we saying God can do anything? Is that what we believe? No. There are things God cannot do. You say, now wait a minute. Wait a minute. What do you mean there are things God can't do? God can't do anything that violates His person or His character. We know some specific things from Scripture. For instance, we know God cannot lie. Titus 1:2. God who never lies promised before the ages began. Hebrews 6:18. It is impossible for God to lie. So, yeah, there are limits. There are some things God can't do. He can't lie. He also can't deny Himself, according to 2 Timothy 2 and verse 13. And, of course, according to James 1 and verse 13, He cannot be tempted. Nor does He Himself tempt anyone. So we're not saying that God can do literally anything. What we're saying when we say God is all-powerful or God is omnipotent, we say God is able to do His holy will. That's the definition. God is able. He is sufficient. He has power to do His holy will. He has the power to do anything and everything that is in keeping with His person. He has the power and the ability to do anything that is in keeping with His will. Stephen Charnock, who is one of the great Puritan divines who lived between 1620 and 1680, put it this way. Why does it matter that our God is all-powerful? Why does it matter that we understand the power of our God? Here's what Charnock wrote. Without power, God's mercy would be but feeble pity. His promises, an empty sound. His threatenings, a mere scarecrow. God's power is like Himself, infinite, eternal, incomprehensible. It can neither be checked, restrained, nor frustrated. If God doesn't have all power, His promises is just sound. His threatening is nothing but a scarecrow. His mercy is just feeble pity. It's not going to accomplish anything for us. But because He has all power, His mercy is genuine, honest mercy. He responds in mercy, and He moves in mercy, and He acts in mercy. His promise can be counted upon. His threatenings are real. Because our God has all power. There is nothing, that is no thing, that is impossible for our God. That nothing means no thing. There's nothing impossible for Him to accomplish. Let's add something else to that. It's not just that nothing is impossible, but nothing's hard for our God. Because He possesses all power. Because He has all the power that there is, it's not hard for Him to do anything. Whatever power that you and I have is power that God has allowed us, or power that He has delegated to us. See, God doesn't have to take our lives. He just has to quit giving it to us. All power is His. So whatever power we have is delegated power. By the way, the same thing is true of Satan. Whatever power the devil has is the power that God has delegated to him for his purpose. Remember the story of Job? The devil comes and presents Job before the Lord. He comes before the Lord, and the Lord said, "Where have you been?" "Well, I've been out to and fro looking around." "Well, no, you're looking around. Have you considered my servant Job? You know, that's always bothered me. God brought Job into this thing. Yeah, I've considered him, and he sure loves you, but that's only because you got such protection around him. If you weren't protecting him like that, he wouldn't love you." Really? Well, okay, here's what you can do. At this point and no further. He's on a leash. As Luther said, even the devil is God's devil. Because our God has all power. Any other power that exists in all the universe is a delegated power. He is omnipotent. So we need to get rid of all these kind of notions that we get in our minds. Sometimes when you're talking about salvation or you're talking about other kinds of things, people will say foolish things like, "Well, God voted for you and the devil voted against you, and now you cast the deciding vote." That's not a biblical way of thinking. That kind of thinking thinks too little of God and too much of yourself. Our God has all power, and He will accomplish His purpose. Period. Regardless of how anybody else votes. He has all power. He has all authority. Whenever we think about the power of God, we always must think about it in the context of all His other attributes. Don't think about the attributes of God in isolation, because they're all interrelated. They're all connected. So when we talk about God's power, we're saying His power is good, it's wise, it's loving, it's merciful, it's gracious, it's holy. It's all the things that God is. So always think of them together. So as we're walking through this study, don't say, "Well, we're through with that one, let's move on to the next one." They're all connected. And you need to think of them in that way. All these things are true about God, and they're all interrelated. This power resides in God Himself. It's not outside of him. He doesn't have to go anywhere to get this power. He doesn't have to go anywhere to be recharged or to be replenished or to be refreshed. Because the power resides within him. He is its source and it is undiminished. In other words, God didn't rest on the seventh day because he was worn out from all that creating. He rested to establish a pattern for us. He didn't have to rest because his power never diminishes. All God's acts are done without effort. So as that is our basis, now let's talk about the power of God for just a little bit this evening. First of all, God's power is infinite. When we say he has all power, we need to understand the kind of power we're talking about is an infinite power. That is, it is a power without limit. It is a power that is boundless. He is able to do whatever he pleases. Of course, this is greatly demonstrated in the creation. Psalm 33, verse 6, "By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth all their hosts." We're told in Genesis that God spoke the universe into being. The creation account in Genesis is that God created ex nihilo, out of nothing. It's not that God was there and he said, "Well, you know, I've got some matter lying around here. I need to do something with it." There wasn't anything except God. And he spoke, and everything that is came into being by the power of his word. Now, that's an extraordinary thing. What we keep reading in Genesis is, God said, "Let there be," and then there was. It's an incredible power. He called into being everything that exists. Now, think about the creation for just a moment. Scientists tell us that they believe that if you were to travel around the diameter of the observable universe, now, by observable universe, they're saying what we have been able to ascertain as being there. There's probably more, but we're talking about the observable, what we can see, what we can justify, what we can have understanding of. And remember, it's always expanding. It's always growing larger. But they said if you were to travel around the diameter of the observable universe and you were to travel at the speed of light, that's 186,000 miles per second. It would take you 91 billion years to get around the diameter. And God spoke and it was there. This is the power of our God. This is the power of the God that we serve. This is the power of the God that we worship. The nearest star is 4.5 light years from us. Our nearest star, the nearest star to us, here on Earth, 4.5 light years. That is, the light from that star traveling 186,000 miles a second takes 4.5 years to get here. That's just the closest one. This is the size of the universe, and it was spoken into being by our God. No wonder Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 32:17, "Ah, Lord God, it is you who has made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. Nothing is impossible with you." Matthew chapter 19 and verse 26, Jesus looked at them and said, "With man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Of course, the context of Matthew chapter 19 is the context of the work of God in salvation. The passage is saying no one is beyond the power of God to save. Now, that ought to be awfully encouraging for those of us who are praying for lost loved ones. No one is beyond the power of God to save. He is able. His power is sufficient. No matter how stubborn, no matter how obstinate, no matter how long they've wallowed in their sin, our God is able to save them because his power is infinite. There are those people that we give up on and say there's no way that God said, oh yeah, there's a way. His power is sufficient. His power is glorious. Our God is all-powerful, and that power is infinite. Second, connected to it, and especially in the context of salvation, as we're just talking about it, is the second thing, and that is that God's power is irresistible. By that I mean, no one can conquer it. It's invincible. No one can defeat God. That's why I'm not worried where this world is heading, ultimately. Not saying I'm not bothered by it. I'm not saying I'm not concerned when I read the news or I watch the television or I see what's going on in the world. Of course I'm bothered by it. I'm not worried ultimately because I don't think it's up for grabs. God has already declared where it's going to end. And no one's going to stop that. No one's going to defeat that. Aren't you worried about people yielding to the devil? Not ultimately. Because the devil isn't going to win. Because he's already been conquered. And he's a mere created being. And our God is an uncreated, eternal reality, a person who has all power. And he can be trusted. Job 42, verse 2. I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Isaiah 14:27. For the Lord of hosts has purposed, and who will annul it? His hand is stretched out, who will turn it back? And Isaiah words it in such a way that we have to shout back with the answer, no one. No one can turn it back. No one can stop it. Isaiah 43:13. Also henceforth I am he. There is none who can deliver from my hand. I work, and who can turn it back? In other words, Psalm 115 verse 3, our God is in the heaven and he does all that he pleases. Why? Because he has all power. We serve an omnipotent God whose power is infinite, whose power is irresistible, whose power is inexhaustible. God doesn't grow old. He doesn't get weak. He doesn't get tired. His power does not diminish. Years ago, when I was still in school, my grandmother, I called her and was talking to her, asking her how she was doing, and found out that she had been to the doctor, and they told her that she had some heart problems, that she had a congestive heart failure, and there were some things that she ought to do and get that taken care of. She was in her 80s, and my grandmother, being who she was, she said, I don't think so. The doctor said, no, this is a real easy procedure, and we can give you... She said, I've lived a good life. I don't care. I'm ready to go. My dad was really upset about that, by the way. But she said, I don't care. I'm not doing anything. I said, well, how did you know something was wrong? And she said, oh, son, when the garden played out this year, I went out there to pull up those corn stalks. She had a big garden that took the whole backyard. She had three or four rows of corn. And she said, I only got one row jerked out of the ground before I had to stop and rest a second. And I said, well, meemaw, they would have found me laying about halfway down the first row dead. And she says, well, I just knew something was wrong because I just had to stop and catch my breath. Guess what? Our God never stops to catch his breath because his power is inexhaustible. Never diminishes. God doesn't have to say, boy, when I was younger, I could do a whole lot more. His power is what it's always been. It's inexhaustible. Isaiah 40. 28 through 31. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is an everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. Psalm 102, 25 through 27. of old you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will wear out like a garment. You will change them like a robe, and they will pass away. But you are the same, and your years have no end. The God that we serve is a God of infinite power. And that power is inexhaustible. It doesn't grow weak. It doesn't diminish. His power is incomprehensible. That is, it is beyond finding out. Our highest, loftiest, grandest thoughts fall far short of His glory and His power. No matter what you've conceived, no matter how you've looked at it, no matter how grand and how many adjectives you add to it to try to describe it, you haven't even begun to describe it. It's incomprehensible. It's beyond our ability to grasp ultimately. Ephesians 3 and verse 20. Now to Him who is able to do far more, to Him who is able to do far more abundantly, to do far more abundantly above and beyond all that we ask, above and beyond all that we had asked or even think, according to the power that works within us. It's incomprehensible, the power of our God. So what does that mean? That means that whatever you're facing, whether it's something physical or spiritual or emotional or relational, is no threat to Him. It's no match for His power. And you have every reason to be confident when you come to Him seeking His aid, seeking His intervention, praying that His will be accomplished, because nothing is beyond His power. It's incomprehensible. The last thing I want to say about the power of God is that God's power works in perfect harmony with all of His other attributes. In other words, His power is a holy power. It is a loving power. It is a gracious power. It is a wise power. It is a sovereign power. So what I want us to understand is whenever we talk about the power of God, we're not talking about raw power. We're not talking about sheer might. There is always purpose in it and behind it. It is the working out of His holy, sovereign, and perfect will. So don't think of the power of God just in the sense of raw, brute force and strength. Think of it in keeping with His divine, holy character. And it is always to the working out of His holy, perfect, divine will. So what's the bottom line? If all this is true, which obviously I believe it is, because I believe it's what exactly has been revealed to us in the Scripture, what does it mean? I think, first of all, it means that you and I should tremble before this God. See, I think one of the problems in the church today is a casual attitude toward God. An insufficient familiarity with God. See, it is true that God loves us. It is true that through the person of the Lord Jesus, we enter into relationship with God, and it is the relationship of father to son, father to daughter. That when we come to salvation and the Spirit of God takes up residence within us, that Spirit of God that comes to live within us is the Spirit that cries out, Papa, Father. And there is intimacy in that. But I'm afraid we've taken the concept of intimacy and trivialized it. And so we think of God in a very offhanded, he's my buddy kind of way. And he's not your buddy. He is the holy, living God. And we ought to tremble before him. This God, with the kind of power that we've been describing, is someone not to be ignored. He's not to be treated with indifference or contempt. To do so, I believe, is suicidal. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Instead, we ought to heed the command of Scripture, "Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way. For his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him." We ought to tremble before this God. Second, we should adore this God. The wondrous, infinite perfections of such a being demands fervent worship on our part. As Moses put it, "Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders?" Now, sometimes people say, "Well, worship, it's just kind of boring." Well, if it's boring, it's because you don't understand who you're standing before. You don't understand that you're in the presence of the kind of God we've been talking about over the last 6 weeks or so. If you did, you could never say he's boring. Your preacher's boring. There may be a song that's boring, but he isn't. We should tremble before him, but we should also adore him. And third, we should trust him. He is worthy of your confidence. Because nothing's too hard for him. No prayer is too hard for him to answer. No need is too great for him to supply. No passion too strong for him to subdue. No temptation so powerful he cannot deliver. No misery too deep for him to relieve. And thus we pray along with the psalmist, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" He can be trusted. This God of great power, this God of great glory, as you tremble before him, as you adore him, trust him. Trust him with your future. Trust him with every trial. Trust him with every heartache. And submit your life to him daily. Because he's worthy of that kind of trust. This is the God we worship. This is the God we serve.
You've been listening to a Plowman podcast. Find us on the web at theplowman.org. The Plowman features the preaching ministry of Rod Harris, pastor of Trinity Baptist Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, located at the corner of 41st and Union. To learn more about the ministries at Trinity Baptist Church, visit us on the web at www.tbctulsa.org.